Welcome back live to Old Chicago here on Thursday, September 28th, the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. Thank you so much to volleyball head coach Patrick Hiltz for just joining the show. Later on, we will have head coach of the baseball team, Caleb Cox, along with freshman Gabe Judah on to talk about the start of fall ball. But for now, we welcome in defensive coordinator Chanel Jones from the Garden City football team. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Cal?
I'm doing great. So looking back at last week, no way around it. A really tough loss. The defense gave absolutely everything they had. Limited Highland just 3 points in that game. After watching the game back on film, what were some of the takeaways that you had from that game?
We really encouraged the guys that they played a great game, ran to the ball well, did a lot of things. You know, we have a lot of goals that we set, and the goals were, you know, as usual as all week, you know, under 100 rushing, right at 185 for 200 yards passing. So you can clip between 290 and 300, and that keeps you in the top 10 in the country. So to be able to keep them under 200, and, I think they had about 28 rushes for 5 total yards. So everything was in sync in those things. But at the end of the day, they know that the team get the W, the team get the L. So we went back to work this week.
You talk about holding teams to under 100 yards every week as kind of a game plan. Is that a mantra that you held kind of every game this season?
Well, we know how offense is set up, right? That's when you set up the play action pass, the screens, and all those things. They want you to bring down that safety. Once they bring that safety, then they expose you to all kind of routes, combinations that they want to do at the second level. But as long as that the safety is able to stay on that hash and you can control the run with your six and your seven-man box, then it helps, you know, by what you're limited them to do as far as being able to take big shots and big things. So right now we've been able to control it. So guys are taking a fade route shot, and that's a 50-50 ball. We've been covering it well, but you know, maybe three times out of 10, 30% that they'll connect or get a pass on offense or something like that. And at the end of the day, that's a risk pass. It's a high-risk pass. So my guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And you were talking about how you held them to just 5 rushing yards. Their leading rusher on Saturday only had 12 total yards. Can you talk about how this team has been able to have so much success up front?
Well, I guess the thing that we're starting to see is that we know when we recruited these guys, those big-time guys, our defensive line is getting calls from some of the biggest conferences in the country, Big Ten, ACC, SEC, and not just calling, calling and saying, hey, we're coming to offer that guy. We need his transcripts. You know, it is what it is. If they graduate in January, we'll take them. If they graduate in May, we'll take them. So we knew hanging our hats that group was the focal point of our recruiting class, of bringing in early in January, and we knew, understood that the dividends were going to pay off. Now they just got to hold fast in the classroom.
Now, I talked to Coach Minnett earlier today, and he said kind of the same thing. This D-line's getting a lot of buzz from some big-name schools. Amongst defensive lines that you've coached, has there been more buzz amongst the unit?
I think the one time we had a kid go KU, K-State, and Clark Long with the SC, and then we had a guy that went to a Big Ten, I think Texas Tech. So that group, you kind of follow the model when we had our recruiting class and what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it. Kind of the Jayhawk Conference follows the format of the Big 12 and SEC. They're going to run the ball three yards in a cloud of dust. So at the end of the day, again, once you have to bring that safety down, then that's when you get exposed to all different kind of things. So those guys have been playing. They're taking a lot of reps. They're taking a lot of snaps. And they're getting the due attention that's worthy to their work effort.
And how important is it for your team to be able to keep BJ and Cam back in coverage?
Well, that's paying off, too, because, you know, they're SEC guys, ACC guys. So at the end of the day, it helps with their recruiting because they can take shots and do things and risk and help. And at the same time, we don't want to help our corners, but at the same, if it's a three-step pass, then they can rally and run to it. So, and you've seen those guys. They're big enough to come down in the box. If we have to do it, they can do it. But at the same time, we're saying, okay, it's a game of chess. You do this. Now, we get a problem that we have running the ball, then we bring one of those guys down.
Can you talk to me about what Coach Fletcher Jones does with that defensive line day in, day out?
Well, he's a high-intensity guy. He's a high-energy guy. So he always believes on getting off and being fundamentally sound, right? So what we're doing as far as smarter line and what we're doing and what they're seeing and what's the counter to whatever the attack that he has them set up with. So, like, you know, when you watch them in practice, they'll be doing some of the get-offs, and then they're doing combos. Then they're reading blocks. And then, okay, now hi-hat. We're working to what shoulder, what foot, what leverage, what pass protection. So those guys are constantly attacking. Like last week, they kept everybody in the box to not give up a sack and try to hit us with a short pass. And then now then dink and dump down the field. And so at the end of the day, you choose your battles. The quarterback never broke the cone. So at the end of the day, it's okay, do what you need to do. And that showed, I think we were 2 for 14. They had a 15% success rate on third down. So
yeah,
let's play chess either way. So that's kind of what they do up front over there.
How important is that when you're able to keep the quarterback in the pocket, make sure that he can't, you know, kind of extend plays? Yeah.
Well, when they extend plays, everybody has to attach, and then the D-line has to be traced, and then the linebacker has to make a decision on who we can let go when we come up the field. So at the end of the day, we'll let you run and say, okay, move the sticks instead of getting an explosive play 20, 25 yards. Mm-hmm. Those guys, you know, you see them, they work hard. You know, he's after them all day. You know, they're banged up at the same time. But at the end of the day, then Harley gets those guys put back together, and then on Saturday, they're able to perform for everybody.
You kind of compare football to this game of chess, yeah, you know, where all of a sudden one quarterback can kind of extend a play, and there's eight different things that a guy can go through, you know, a linebacker or a cornerback's head. How proud are you of this team for the way that they're able to respond in-game to those kind of crazy plays?
Because you know that people are breaking you down, and with analytics is awesome. We do the same thing. So we say, okay, are this formation, are they running at 80%? What are they doing at 20%? And then what is the left, you know, the et cetera that they're doing? So like today, we went over the game plan. We told them what we want to do in the first quarter. We told them what we think they should react to. We told them our reaction to that is going to be this. And when we get to that point, do we continue to do it, whether or not are we being successful? But at the same time, then, okay, then here's the second half adjustment, whether we have to use it in the second half or have to use it in the second quarter. They understand. And they understand, too, okay, why are we in plan B already? Because either A, we didn't get to the quarterback, B, we're not able to cover receivers, so we're doing combo coverages. We don't try to hide from I think sometimes on Fridays we give them the call sheet and let them know, okay, this is what our base calls, base downs, we get to this. And when we get down to here, if we're down to here, we're in trouble. But don't panic because we're not going to run anything we didn't practice.
So many neutrals watch football and say, oh, this is just a physical game. But there's so much mental part of it that you're talking about. How important is it to kind of find that balance between the physical side of things, but also keeping players right above the shoulders?
We always tell them, and if you hear us holler at practice, it's always about communication, right? They can fly around. We tell them, make mistakes. We want you to make mistakes on Tuesday and Thursday because you're figuring out what they're doing and what we're trying to do against it. But we really, really, really emphasize communication, because when they're talking to each other, that means they see the same thing, or somebody hasn't seen what the other guy seen on film, and they talk and they say, okay. And I tell them all the time, as long as you guys understand what you're talking about, whether the call, and then when you get to the sideline, you talk to me and tell me what you see. And I say, okay, we've seen that, we didn't, let's adjust it and go. Let's not go rogue and do something, and all of a sudden we got holes in the boat, and they don't know what they're saying. I don't know how to fix it. So communication, as long as they're talking, then I think we're doing a good job.
You feel like their team has still kept the head up and communicating, even though a couple of tough losses these last couple weeks?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always look for, you know, again, we talk about the we over me, the us over I, right? There comes a time, no matter whether, if you play this game, the true fact of it is you're going to lose more games than you win if you play this game for a long time.
Okay.
The other thing about it is sometimes the offense is there to pick you up when the defense play poor. Sometimes the defense has to help the offense when you play poor. Sometimes it just don't work. The wheels keep going. And so at the end of the day, you look for those common factors of, are they still communicating across the ball to each other? Are they still laughing and joking? Because it's a game at the end of the day, right? And are we building the trust and all those things like we talked earlier in some of those shows? And you see the interaction, and at the same time, football is different from baseball, basketball, volleyball, and those things. You practice all week for one performance on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you know, you kind of seen that, okay, you know, because of the brotherhood, hey, you got to step up and do those things for defense. And at the same time, defense saying, okay, this is not a trap game. This is what we're talking about. Now, we come out here against our city and don't play the same way we played against Highlands, all right, then we're not getting better, because you're either getting better or you're getting worse. So right about today, you saw it in practice, you know, between the bugs last night, just kind of gearing it up. We're dealing with the heat today. They still is gearing up. And now we're just going to, you know, we talked about controlling controllables. What can we control this week? We play Dodge City at 7 p.m., and everybody needs to show up.
You mentioned that it's, you know, hot today for practice. I just joked around with Coach Hiltz earlier that I was waiting for it to get a little cooler, because it's normally a little hotter. Yep, you have the same reaction. Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm just the only one who wants to get a little colder then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it just, you know, it's kind of strange, right? Because we're from Arizona, so it's kind of strange to say, okay, we're in October, right? About to hit October, and we're talking about the temperatures that we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of off and those things like that, because, you know, like we delved into – the night last night, and then the mosquitoes tore us loose, and then we got back into Sunday. So, hey, I look at my app, sometimes I say some things, and then you look out there and it's like, no, it's just not matching. So you just learn how to deal with it.
That's Florida. Yeah. You go outside one day thinking, oh, it's going to be 85 degrees today. Nope, it's a thunderstorm. You have no idea. getting into some individuals, I thought A-Train, Austin Williams, and Jaleel Muhammad did a really good job over this homestand in the middle of that defensive line, kind of coming together in the middle of that unit. What makes them stand out on the field?
I think their leverage, their power, explosibility, and then also you start to see the local talent they got. I mean, you know, Terrell Elliott is a football player. Mm-hmm. You know, he is a great football player. And from Garden City High School, he was born and bred here, dad, brother played, and all those things. He walked away from two Division I opportunities in the spring because his grades is through the roof, right? So along with how he's developing, and at the same time, we have Quantaris West inside. We just got back Bowser last week from High Angle Springs. So it's kind of funny because throughout the season, we're getting stronger because everybody's getting back healed up and so mm-hmm. things. But those guys, A-Train is something to deal with. You know, he started with 12 games at University of Colorado, and you can see why. Jaleel Muhammad was the defensive lineman player of the year in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
So he has some of the biggest schools in the country calling him right now, and well-deserving. So those guys work hard. They've been in the weight room. They play the game with such a physical mentality, right? You don't have to worry about nobody putting them on their back of pancakes. If it happens from a double team, then that very next play somebody is really going to bear the brunt of that because they take pride in what they do. Those two guys are going to end up with some special places again.
Mm-hmm. Something funny about Elliott, which I didn't know, which I learned at the start of the month. Like, you know, he's a football player, he's a tough guy on the field, but off the field, really interested in, like, computer engineering. Yeah. Kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, and whatever he wants to be, he's going to be, right? He's smart. His technique is down. I didn't get the coach's brother, but they said the same thing about his brother that went and played at Indiana. the kid, everybody that talks about him, say he's just like that jumped out, dog, just going to stop. I said, hey, and then he's got a 3.8, 3.9 GPA that goes with it. So, you know, his opportunities are going to be endless. He's going to be able to choose a great institution to continue on to.
Another guy who I thought really started the homestand was Daniel Martin. In the last game, 7 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss. Can you describe what his motor is like at that outside linebacker position?
He's flying around. He's starting to understand. A lot of guys say, okay, you got all these guys bouncing back in. And there you come from Vanderbilt, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't get in Vanderbilt with anything that's normal or anything that's average. From academics, you know, it is what it is. So you understand what he's – you understand, you know that you understand what you're telling them, but at the same time, all of these guys are starting to learn how to play with each other. Now, Daniel's starting to understand what we expect from him and how he fit and what he does and to play fast because, again, you don't have to worry about his acumen. He went to Vanderbilt, so he's smarter than the track, right? So at the same time, they communicate, and Keyshawn Washington from Miami, he has stepped up in that place. Pierre Kamini, he's starting to step up the bounce back from Ohio. So in practice right now, you're hearing them talk before you even say, hey, and they talk and say, like, okay. So Daniel is one of those guys that went to Vanderbilt. So he's a smart guy, played, and he's going to end up at another big institution also because I think he has great grades, and he'll probably be out here and do somewhere also.
Those moments where you see these guys talking before you can even make the adjustment in practice that make you feel good?
Because you see the maturity number now. You understand that, you know, junior college is – it's a constant flip, right? But you can't get your hands on them until July. So then in July, you're trying to go through the thing, the process, get them in school, get them going on the track. You're trying to get them in shape. And then all of a sudden, August hit. And then August 24th, get less than, 60 days, you're playing Butler Community College. So it's an ongoing process as far as learning, getting these guys to play with each other, understanding what they're doing. But I was just saying, okay, roll the ball out there and play. You got to teach them something. You got to find out, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to get you better. This is all about development. And at the end of the day, we're going to do things in between. We're going to get you out to your next institution.
You're someone who's always kind of working with linebackers in practice. What are some of the biggest things that you like to get these linebackers before they go out to this next big institution, wherever they go?
Well, everybody wants to create space, spread offenses and all those things. So I got a group of linebackers that really love to hit. They really love to be aggressive and all those things. But at the same time, okay, how can we cover 5 yards of grass, of space, right? We got to be disciplined. We got to know why we're moving. And we got to understand how they're trying to move us, but stay in the integrity of what we're doing, all right? And even if you're in the middle of the field, there's only 11 players. Everybody always say, force them to the sideline because that's the 12th man. What we want to do is we want to cut you off to your force or your help. So if our Mike linebacker is forcing something, he's forcing it to the rover. If the rover is forcing inside, he's forcing back to the mic. If the rover is forcing anything outside, he's forcing to the corner and the leverage of the sideline. So you're teaching them those things. You're saying, okay, hey, no matter what, the football field is the same size it is here at Garden City that is at Ohio State, right? So at the end of the day, you've got to use those dimensions and make plays in space.
So you got Dodge City this week, and it's kind of an interesting matchup because normally you guys are the ones favored, whereas this week it's flipped. They're ranked the first time in 6 years. What have you seen from watching their offense on film?
They give you the same type of ability that everybody else. You know, they have athletes that they put in certain positions that they're trying to do some things that they try to create space in and things like that. I see that they're a team that play with a lot of emotions. They're a team that loves to play with momentum. They want to play, and then they want another play, and then all of a sudden they start vibing. And what we told our guys is this week, we're not going to play it cool, right? No DAP, no dump penalties, right? But at the end of the day, you have to play emotion with emotion. This is like a rival game. It's 42 miles away from each other, and it's not like a get back or they rank or we rank, whatever, right? Our community expect us to win against our city community college. And so when we get on the bus, we know what the expectation is. And so at the end of the day, it's about being 1-0.
You kind of told me the same thing about Highland's team last week. Told me they really did a good job of scheming some of their playmakers open. How'd you feel the secondary handled Highland's receivers on Saturday?
I think we really did well. We wanted to give up the small. So our chess match was like this. Okay, don't give up the deep ball, but you know they're going to get one. But if you catch it, get them down, right? Or get the ball out of the protection. We was giving up the chip thing because what we were trying to do is get them to third down, right? And it was 15% set.
Yeah.
So the point of this is get them to third down, get off the field and make the punt, right? Because you know they're going to strategically do some things or whatever. And at the same time, you understand whether it's field versus boundary, whether it's a two-man concept or one-man isolation concept, and that's the way we attack it. So at the end of the day, sometimes we were able to give up 5 yards and get 32 or give up 4 yards and 36. We wanted to keep it behind the sticks where it was never second and six, right? So then at that point, we said, okay, let's play. Let's make them punt. Let's do field positions. And then you start getting the feel that that game was like, okay, I think when they got down to the 8 yard line, we jumped over the pile. Right, and they got new downs at the 4 or 5 yard line. But it, up in the box, I was seeing what my guys were playing. I was like, they're not going to get in. They'll get in if we have a mental lapse. But at the end of the day, they was playing at such a high level. We felt that they could get three, but they wasn't going to get in the end zone.
So big rivalry game, big chance for your team to bounce back this week. Going to be a lot of Hines, Hen City with Don City ranked in the top 15. What is your message to the team in the locker room before you guys take that field to take on these Conquistadors to make sure that they keep their heads and, like you said, kind of balance the emotion?
All right, first of all, we explain to them, you get penalties, you're coming off the field.
Okay.
On the defense side of it. Mm-hmm. You get penalties, you're coming off the field. Not a pass interference, not a effort penalty, but a personal penalty. What I'm saying is you thinking that what you're doing right now is not controllable or whatever. You didn't suit, whatever, right? You're a distraction, right? You're coming off the field. The other thing about it is we told them that you're going to have to max intensity. In every rival game, you can't go in there, hey, let's have prevail, let's have cool heads. No. You got to meet their momentum. You have to meet their excitement. It is a rivalry game. It is at night. It is at 7 p.m. So the most important thing on Saturday night between these two towns is this game going on right now. So it's the same thing we presented when we was the first game in JUCO on Thursday night against Butler. What are we going to do? How are we going to perform? Let's step up it. Let's not step away from this moment. Let's be in this moment. So it's going to be what it's going to be. I mean, we're really not worrying about rankings and all the things like that. We're just worrying about being 1-0. We feel just as stern as we did at the beginning of the year that we have the pieces, right? We just got to trigger those things. And right now, if we're trading on one side of the ball defensively, then we got to step up a little bit more. It is what it is.
You got me excited to play in this game. I'm going to be up in the booth with you.
we want this to be. This game has always been excited. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, our guys, they're excited about it. You know, the end of the day, probably the best thing that happened this week was we got back into our academics. Our kids got started getting recruited by some of the biggest schools in the country. So when you get that point, it was like, hey, you know what it is? Trust the process. And the process of it is at the end of the day, is you're trying to win every week. You know, if you was a guy that loved football from the old school style, you know, defensively, just going at it, then you enjoyed the game last week. If you want a high scoring flying around 50 point, then you didn't enjoy it last week. You know, and when you have those defensive battles, somebody has to lose, right? So at the end of the day, like I said in our meeting Sunday, I told him, I said, we hit every goal. We crushed every goal. But our last goal that's on our board is, who is the best defense on the field? So if Highlands didn't give up a point and we gave up three, that is one of the main things that we need to address. It is what it is.
Big rivalry game. Super excited for this one. Garden City takes on Dodge City from Memorial Stadium on Saturday. Gets the action here on KWKR 999 The Rock starting at 6:30 with the American Invalid pregame show. That is defensive coordinator Chanel Jones. Coach, thank you so much for coming on again. Best of luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me, Pat.
So fine, the most job.